shall discuss the ultimate happiness. That deep connection that some of you have been wondering about. We're going to turn to Bhagavad Gita straight away now. Up until this point, I've been giving you preliminary knowledge of self-realization. In other words, I've been trying to give you impetus for pushing on with your enlightenment, pushing on beyond the temporary concerns, the superficial concerns, so that you can actually get a grip on the dynamics of your life, the real dynamics of your life. The real dynamics of your life are not material, but all the education that we are getting is material. Certainly that's all right for earning a livelihood and maintaining the body, maintaining the family. But that is not the ultimate in life. In order for our individual life, our family life, our social life to have true meaning, you must have that deep connection. So let's look at that deep connection as described by the deep connection himself, Lord Sri Krishna. We're going to turn to chapter 5 of Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, you'll find things that are in other scriptures of the world, but you'll find so much that is not there. Bhagavad Gita is the most superlative one volume of transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge that you'll ever be able to find. We're going to look at a series of verses that describe someone who knows what he or she is doing. That's a rare person these days. As you have noticed, most people just blow along like a leaf in the street in the wind. They follow whatever influences are predominant in society at the time. But we want that you become actually self-motivated, self-directed persons, free from material illusion. If we can motivate you to be all that you can be in terms of spiritual development, then we have done our job. We can't live your life for you, but we want to give you all reason for your pushing ahead with your Krishna consciousness. We'll look at the words of Lord Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna, in chapter 5 of the Gita, entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. How to act with that deep connection. How to act for the pleasure of the Supreme. We'll look at the Sanskrit. Naprashrishyat priyam prapya no jajet prapya chapriyam stira bhuji asambhuto brahmavid brahmanishtita. This is Lord Sri Krishna speaking. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon attaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. So, this is the destination where you want to go. How to be beyond the false pleasures and pains of this world. How not to be capsized whenever something good or bad happens, but to be focused on your spiritual identity and your spiritual purpose in relation to to the supreme absolute truth. This is real life. This is really how to live. Not that you give up your duties for your profession, your occupation, for your family, but all that you do is anchored in your connection to the Supreme, in your connection to Krishna. That is the point. So, there may be so many pleasant or unpleasant things happening around you, but you're not disturbed by the temporary happiness. You're not disturbed by the temporary distress. You have a deep cavern, a deep reservoir of internal wealth inside you, which can't be taken away, it can't be taxed, can't be stolen. That is real wealth, the spiritual wealth of Krishna consciousness. Now, why is it that you would not rejoice upon receiving something pleasant? Why is it that you would not lament about attaining something unpleasant? You won't do these things because you have something better in your life. That is the point. When you have something better, you're not disturbed by whatever happens to something insignificant. Just like if a leaf falls off of a tree out there, how many of you will become disturbed? No one. Even though it has happened. Similarly, happiness and distress of this world is actually insignificant for someone who has developed the internal spiritual wealth. The temperature's just fine. I want you to think about that. Furthermore, how are you self-intelligent? A self-intelligent person has steadiness inside. That steadiness comes from being fixed in your spiritual purpose. As we read here, you can just go down a bit to the purple. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization, or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. All right, now. You want to know about the deep connection. We hear about that in this purport. Knowing the complete science of the absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Let me explain to you that there are three levels of knowledge. First is the kind of knowledge you ordinarily study at the university. This is called, in Sanskrit, shilpagyan, knowledge of the ordinary, making material arrangements. Practically everyone in this world is caught up in this ordinary knowledge, mundane knowledge, material knowledge. But of course, that will not satisfy the soul. The next level is Brahma Vidya, knowledge that there is an all-pervading spiritual reality spread everywhere. Often, people with their own intelligence can come to the conclusion that there must be some kind of spiritual energy that's everywhere. There must be some kind of spiritual reality. So that is Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the all-pervading spiritual energy. But that is not the last stop. You have to go even higher than Brahma Vidya. And that knowledge beyond Brahma Vidya, that is knowledge of the Supreme. Divya Gyan, divine knowledge. In that divine knowledge, you understand that beyond the all-pervading spiritual energy, there is the super soul in everyone's heart. And beyond even the super soul in everyone's heart, there is Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. This is the deep connection that we're looking for. Actually, simply understanding that we're not the body, that we're spirit soul, is not enough to bring your life into proper focus. Once you understand that you are spiritual, that you're not the body, then you have to search out your connection with the Supreme Spirit. In the relationship between the individual soul and the Supreme Soul, that is where the reality of life is. But what are we doing in material life? Material life means we are foolishly trying to establish connections with matter instead of trying to establish a connection with the Supreme Source of everything. By simply trying to establish connection with matter, you're very disappointed, frustrated. There can be no peace. There can be no lasting prosperity. There's only the false promise given to you by material nature that you'll be happy, that you'll be satisfied. But the goods are never delivered. So let us consider how we can best use our life for developing the highest kind of knowledge. Not just Shilpa Gyan, the ordinary knowledge of the material world. Not even Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the all-pervading oneness, the all-pervading spiritual energy. Push beyond even that. And go to the Divya Gyan, the divine knowledge of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is the deep connection. Krishna means the reservoir of all pleasure, the all-attractive source of everything. When you make the deep connection with Krishna, the all-attractive source of everything, then your life assumes its proper potential. But on your own, you're like an amputated limb. An amputated limb has no beauty of its own, no value of its own. But when the amputated limb is reconnected to the whole body, then that limb regains its beauty, regains its value. In material life, we're all like amputated limbs, cut off from the ultimate reality. So, the process of bhakti yoga reconnects you in a loving relationship with Lord Shri Krishna. In that way, your whole life, because it's in proper balance, gives you the greatest rewards of inner fulfillment and inner satisfaction. So please remember that. How powerful is knowledge of Krishna, the experience of Krishna consciousness? Let's go to the next text, text 21. Just the Sanskrit. Here's the transliteration. Bahya sparsheshva sattatma vinda jatmaniya sukham sabrahma yoga yatatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Translation. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. Now, before we go to the purport, let's look at the elements of this verse. A liberated person. What does it mean to be a liberated person? Anyone have any idea? Liberated person.
Liberation from all attachments.
Liberation from all attachments. Anyone else?
No bondages.
No bondages.
always ecstatic.
Always ecstatic.
Who knows Krishna?
Who knows Krishna? Mm-hmm. Any of that? Generally, what do people think when they use the word liberated person? They generally mean a person who's politically free. But who is actually politically free? Everyone is connected to some political system or another. Or you've heard the phrase liberated woman. Do we have any liberated women here? We look and we don't see anyone liberated in society these days. Everyone is willing to become a slave. Yes? Hire me, employ me. I'll serve you so nicely. Okay? Real liberation has nothing to do with material circumstances. Real liberation means you are free from all material contamination and you are situated in your spiritual identity as part of Krishna. So liberation has two aspects, negative and positive. The negative aspect means I am free from material happiness and distress, free from material illusion. And the positive aspect is I am thriving in my connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So often people just stress the negative side when they talk about liberation. Free from all attachment, free from all desire. Okay, but then what do you do? You can't just be negative, you have to possess something positively. The liberated person possesses Krishna because of the transcendental loving connection. Therefore, the liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure. That liberated person is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. What does it mean, the pleasure within? Does it mean inside your stomach? Inside your intestines? No. Enjoying the pleasure within means enjoying the pleasure of the soul in relation to the Supreme Soul. That is the point. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. We need instruction, we need lessons, guidance in how to concentrate upon Krishna. That is the greatest education. So it's not that you should stop your studies, stop your job. No, simply understand what the greatest education is. And make sure that there's ample space in your life for the greatest education, the topmost knowledge. Now, we're going to look at the purport, and it's going to be quite provocative. Wait, not yet. Let me prepare. It's going to be provocative because it's going to give you a very powerful example of how potent Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is compared to what everyone thinks is the greatest pleasure in the material world. Krishna consciousness, that perfect connection between the soul and the Supreme Soul, is so powerful that even what people consider to be the greatest pleasure in the material world is looked down upon as so insignificant. What is that? Let's take a look at the purport. Sri Yamunacharya, a great devotee in Krishna consciousness, said, Yad avajima machata Krishna pratara vinde navanavarasa dhaman yujyatam rantum asi sad avajima chatnari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara Sushtu nishtivanam cha. Translation of that is, since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. A person in Brahma Yoga, or Krishna consciousness, is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under its spell, and a materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with greater vigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. This is the test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul. Now, I know you're thinking, but you're not saying, how can this be? This sounds impossible. All the movies we've seen are just broadcasting into our consciousness such images of lust. Mm-hmm. Yes? You all go to the movies? Yes? Yes, of course. And when you see these lusty scenes in the movie, the images are branded upon your consciousness. You can't get them out of your mind. You just think of what you've seen. And you imagine, one day I'll be doing that. Yes, yes. This is what I want. This must be happiness. Thank you, Hollywood. Thank you, Bollywood, for giving me this slice of reality, this real vision of pleasure. Now, why in the world would we want to turn our backs upon that? You can only do it, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, you can only turn your back on that if you have something so much better. But this is what the people don't know. They don't know there is something so much better than sense pleasure. Therefore, they cling so tightly to this temporary, transitory sense pleasure, as if it's the all in all. In fact, people even become angry when you try to discourage them from engaging in these lower pursuits. It's like a little baby. When the little baby has a toy and you try to take the toy away from the baby gets angry and cries and screams. So people are like that when you try to separate them from sense pleasure. You can't separate them from these lower pleasures unless they have higher pleasures. And that is the secret of Krishna consciousness. That is the secret of bhakti yoga. The higher pleasures are so intense that you easily let go of the lower pleasures. The pleasure of the soul is so far beyond the pleasures of the body and mind. You can't even compare the two. So what Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita is how to cultivate the pleasure of the soul. That means in relationship with the Supreme Soul. That is the greatest art, culture, knowledge, and science. So Krishna consciousness is so intensely powerful that you'll even forget about the material, mundane, sensual pleasures. Not only will you forget about them, but as the verse in the purport says, whenever you think about them, you'll spit at the thought and your lips will curl in distaste. Why? Because you've got something so much better to do. Then you know your life is successful, when you actually know how to experience the joys of the soul in relation to the Supreme Soul, Krishna. So I wanted you to hear this just so you know the possibilities in spiritual development. This is a very practical description that the spiritual pleasure is so great that when you think of the mundane pleasures, the material pleasures, the sensual pleasures, your lips curl with distaste. Like, who would want to waste their time in that way? I've got so much better things to do. This is the secret mysticism of bhakti yoga, the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna. Because you're getting such a taste that's far superior you'll easily give up the lower activities, the lower pursuits. That is the mysticism of bhakti yoga. Once you make that deep connection with Krishna, then all the other aspects of your life come together. Then your work life, your family life, all make perfect sense because you're keeping Krishna in the center of all your activities, whether at work or at home. You can do that so much so that you can be liberated even while living in your ordinary home. That is how much potential there is in the process of Krishna consciousness. So please think about these practicalities. Let's go back to text 20, the translation. Let's think about each element before we move ahead. A person going back to text 20. Okay. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. So this is what we want for you all. This is the achievement of the intelligent person. How to obtain a position for yourself beyond the temporary miseries of this world, beyond even the temporary happiness of this world. This is the real achievement. I'd like you to think about that. How can you deepen your connection with the supreme source of everything, with Krishna? I know many of you are seriously thinking about reading Bhagavad Gita. That's very good. Make sure that you have an authorized version of Bhagavad Gita. That's why we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. No adulteration, no changing. Straight as Lord Krishna spoke it. Otherwise, if you try to present Bhagavad Gita in a distorted way, it will have no effect. But as soon as you present Bhagavad Gita in an authentic manner, immediately there's an effect. It was my desire that as many of you as possible will take up the study of Bhagavad Gita seriously. And then there's the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Connecting to Lord Krishna through sound. This can be done by anyone in their home at any time. By equipping yourself with the Hare Krishna mantra and Bhagavad Gita knowledge, you'll be able to solve all the problems of your existence. You'll know who you are. You'll know why you're here. You'll know where you're going. Without understanding these things, how can we say that we have knowledge? So you all have a great responsibility. Yes, you come overseas in order to further your work life, but don't stop there. By your being overseas, you can actually have more freedom and latitude in terms of developing your spiritual life, your Krishna consciousness. When you're home, there's so many social expectations, so many obligations. Probably some of you, if you were back home, you have to go to a wedding every month. Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? Every month there's a wedding. Someone in your family is getting married. So many obligations. But here you are isolated in Australia. This is the perfect opportunity to do intense laboratory research on yourself. Because you're separate from all your baggage. All your baggage is overseas at home. The family dynasty, everything. Now here you are alone. You've got no relatives in this city. It's a foreign place. So here is the proper environment for remaking yourself, refining yourself, for retooling the factory. This is the proper place for doing that. Because you have a clear chance to do that here. You're not bound up with so many social obligations, family obligations. Here it's just you. All the emphasis is on you and what you're going to do. You can choose to adopt a lifestyle of maximum spiritual benefit. In that way, you'll do good not only for yourself, but also for your material relations. It is explained in the Shastra, in the Vedic knowledge text, that for someone who becomes a full practitioner of Krishna consciousness, all their family members also get benefit. This is how powerful Bhakti Yoga is. Even your family doesn't do anything themselves for their Krishna conscious progress. Just the fact that you are doing that and you're in their family allows them to get credit from your efforts. Of course, the best credit will be gotten if they themselves voluntarily and fully take up the process of Krishna consciousness. Still, even if they do nothing, they'll get part of your credit. I'd like you all to think how you can become more serious about the ultimate goal in life. How you can understand that there is superior pleasure if only we are qualified to taste that superior spiritual pleasure. I'd like you all to think about that. Why go on in the same way that has proven to be so unproductive for so many persons? So you all can really go in a different direction. And in this way, you'll actually be able to experience the science of the Supreme. You'll be able to experience Krishna consciousness. Not blind faith, but experience. Gradually, through the process of Krishna consciousness, you'll become purified. And that means your spiritual awareness will increase. So once again, let us please keep firmly in our mind the need to connect to Lord Krishna in a more deeper way. If we keep that in mind, then we'll be able to push through all the obstacles of material existence, whether happiness or distress. We'll have our goal firmly in mind. And if we can help others to attain that goal, so much the better. That's why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Nachatasma manusheshu kashchin me kriya kritama. There has never been anyone more dear to me than the one who spreads my glories to others, nor will there ever in the future be anyone more dear to me. So this is what motivates me to give you this timeless, eternal message. I want to become dear to Lord Krishna, the ultimate source of everything. So I've taken the time to present these things to you. Actually, this is the greatest contribution. This is the greatest philanthropy to teach people how to have that deep connection with Lord Krishna. You can begin that immediately. You don't have to wait until you're old, thinking enlightenment is only pursued by persons who are very old right before they die. No. What did we say on the first day of our gathering? We quoted the 5-year-old boy, St. Prahlad Maharaj, from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Komana acharit pragya dharman bhagavatanaya. From the very beginning of your life, dedicate your intelligence to understanding Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Supreme. Then you'll get good value from your life. Although this human body is temporary, it still can generate great wealth for you. That great wealth is your spiritual attainment, your Krishna conscious attainment. For some of you here, I know your next step is going to be how to start your spiritual development. For a few others here, I know that you're already established in Krishna consciousness, and now you're thinking how to take your game to the next level, how to raise your intensity to the next level. In this way, the intelligent person is always thinking how to connect with the ultimate reality, how to connect with Krishna. That is the deep connection that will balance all aspects of your life. So are there any questions? Yes.
Yesterday you were saying about quality and quantity. I come back to again that.
Mm-hmm.
Normally in our life we always give, at least we think that an intelligent person would give importance to quality rather than quantity. But when you are explaining that in quality the soul and super soul is same, and in quantity the super soul is infinite.
Mm.
So why is it different here?
Different where?
In the explanation, in our normal life, if we, let us say, if we take milk,
mm-hmm.
we would probably give importance to the quality first, then the quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I take that analogy and compare it with the explanation given by you, that in quality we are always same when it comes to soul and super soul, whereas in quantity we are finite and the super soul is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
Why does quantity differentiate us and not quality?
Just as you said, the individual soul is finite and the supreme soul is infinite. There's the drop of water and then there's the ocean. If I give you a drop of water in your hand, will you say that you have the ocean? Okay. So similarly, quantity is important, just as quality is important. You cannot be infinite. You'll always be the limited part of the infinite. As the Katha Upanishad says, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Out of all the eternal entities, there is one chief eternal. Out of all the conscious entities, there is one chief conscious entity. So in a nutshell, what is the difference between that one and the others? Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. The one maintains all the others. That is the important difference about quantity. So the Vedic Siddhanta, the Vedic conclusion, is that we are qualitatively equal to God, although we've forgotten that in our conditioned illusion state. Our original quality has become lost. But we are quantitatively dissimilar, just like the drop of water is not the ocean. The drop of milk is not the whole dairy.
Of course.
So. All right. Both sides are stressed. That's why it's called achincha, inconceivable. Your mind can only go one side or the other. Everything is the same as God. Everything is different from God. But to deal with both realities simultaneously is impossible for the material brain. That's why this is called a chincha, inconceivable. How it is that we are one with God in quality, but different from God in quantity. But please remember that that original equality in quality has been lost because we are deluded in the material atmosphere. We're thinking, I am this body, I am this mind, I want material success, I want material happiness. That delusion destroys our own understanding of our equality in, with the Supreme Lord in quality. So we have to revive our original quality. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. It's there, but we lost it. Therefore, there must be purification. We have to re-educate ourselves in the original status of the soul so that we can properly relate once again with the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna. This is the greatest wealth. This is the greatest security. This is the greatest achievement. Right here in this room, we have persons who are working on this greatest achievement. You can also do that. Anything else? Yes.
We have the gross body, and then there is the subtle body.
Mm-hmm.
Now at the soul level, do we have a spiritual body in relation to the Supreme? Is there a body like the senses, spiritual senses?
Yes. The gross body is actually based on the spiritual body. The material senses, the physical senses, are actually not your original senses. They are perverted coverings. The real senses are spiritual. Spiritual senses function in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because we are dreaming the material life, we have this false suit of a material body with its material senses. So Manoj is a good example of someone who's trying for the deep connection in his everyday activities. He works in Canberra for the government. What is your research stuff?
GPS. Global Positioning System.
Hmm. He has his PhD. Working on PhD.
Working
on his PhD. But he's chanting Hare Krishna. He's studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. He looks just like you, yes? He's not wearing saffron cloth. He has his mother, his father. He's getting married this year. So, if he can do it, you can do it also. It's not that he's neglecting his material duties. He goes to work. He's going to Fiji next month where his parents will arrange a marriage for him. So all these things are going on. But he has a deeper connection in his life. He has his eyes on the real prize, the real attainment, the real achievement. Just think how fortunate the lady is who will marry him. She's not marrying a materialist husband. She's marrying someone who can provide the material things, which are there, but they're not the most important thing, but still they should be there. But more than that, she's marrying someone who can generate spiritual wealth. So all you ladies here should know, that is the most prestigious kind of husband to have. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, some of the activities like drinking wine and as you already said in the lecture, like womanizing and everything are bad activities, but still people feel it happy and still they keep on doing that. So what sort of like influence it will make to his life in future life? And still he is Krishna conscious, he is still concentrating on Krishna and everything, still he keeps on doing such things, bad activities, then what sort of like influence does it make in his future life?
You cannot properly focus upon Krishna while doing those nasty things. It's like lighting a fire, a campfire, while pouring water on it at the same time. Very frustrating experience. If you try to light a fire and pour water on it at the same time, very frustrating. So, in order to properly practice Krishna consciousness, you have to stop the negative activities. Now, in the beginning, of course, you have to start somewhere. So, it may be that you'll start to chant Hare Krishna, and then gradually you'll put an end to all your negative activities by getting strength, spiritual strength, from the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. But sooner or later, that point will come when you have to turn the corner. You've got to push ahead. Often in the beginning, someone may have bad habits. But if they start to chant Hare Krishna, they'll get the spiritual strength to stop those bad habits. But at some point, you have to stop. Otherwise, as I said, it's like trying to light a fire while pouring water on it. It's frustrating, useless, waste of time.
Does that mean that once having a single wife and living, husband and wife, they are living their life happily, family life, does that mean they are a bit transcendental towards Krishna consciousness?
Transcendental to Krishna consciousness means you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you're studying Bhagavad Gita and putting it into action. Otherwise, there are so many married couples everywhere. Even in Australia, a few people still get married. There's nothing special about marriage. It's the human thing to do, but it doesn't make you a transcendentalist. Transcendentalist means you have that deep connection with Lord Krishna. Certainly it's much more sane to marry than go around womanizing like some wild cat. Marriage is a basic institution in human society, but in of itself it doesn't make you transcendental. It is the connection to Krishna that makes you transcendental. Connection to Krishna, the source of all energies. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, the battlefield of Kurukshetra has no significance. Would have no significance for us if Krishna was not there. Because Krishna is there, then the battle of Kurukshetra with Arjuna has such significance for us. We want to add Krishna to our life. You can have so many zeros, a string of so many zeros, and what's the use? But as soon as you add one before the zeros, then you have something. So Krishna consciousness is the process of adding the Supreme One to all the zeros that you've accumulated. please understand that it is possible to put your life on another level. We have so many examples here. IT specialists, or family men also, they have wife, they have child. These things can be there, but they have these things in the proper way. With the wife, with the child, they are living for the pleasure of Krishna, even while doing their material duties. Therefore, their life is completely different because of that deep connection with Krishna. So we would like that all of you have that deep connection. It is possible. How can you say, oh, it sounds wonderful, but I don't think it's possible? We have persons here who are doing that. Maybe in the beginning they thought like you, oh, it's impossible, I don't know how anyone can live like that in today's society. But after you begin your process of Krishna consciousness, you'll wonder, how could I ever live the way I did before? How could I have been so foolish and blind? Now I'm generating real wealth. That internal wealth. That wealth that Krishna is talking about. The wealth of the liberated person who is self-intelligent, situated within themselves. Not disturbed by happiness or distress. Unbewildered.
Other questions?
If I'm doing, like, if I have a family, and if I'm doing my job at the moment, and like, I'm a little bit putting my focus toward Krishna as well, like, I'm living the so-called balanced life, would it be possible for me to be a liberated soul, nothing good will make me happy or nothing bad will make me?
Yes, if your Krishna consciousness is that strong, yes, certainly.
Because I'm that so-called sansar. Like something went wrong, it will definitely make me disturbed. Even if I have like Krishna consciousness.
No. That's why Krishna is explaining that you reach a level in which the happiness and distress of this world does not disturb you.
At the same time, when I'm living with my family or I'm attached to this world.
When you have a higher purpose. You have a higher purpose for living with your family. You're living with your family to elevate your family in Krishna consciousness. You're not just, putting roti or chapatis on the table. You're not just providing maintenance. You are providing spiritual nourishment to your family. It's a completely different way of having a family.
But still, one more thing, like if I'm living with my family and if I'm doing my job and all this stuff, like how I give up all the sense of pleasure, that means like taste of food or like sleep or all this, like has, sense of pleasure.
Has anyone this weekend given up the taste of food or sleep?
Like on that phrase, it calls like that liberated soul doesn't have any attachment to that. Sense of pleasure?
Right. Therefore, Krishna says in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you cannot be a yogi if you sleep too much or sleep too little, eat too much or eat too little. So there's no question of not eating. There's no question of not sleeping. But all these things are done in service for the Supreme Lord. That is the liberated life. You can learn how to eat for Krishna, how to sleep for Krishna, how to work for Krishna, even how to have children. Krishna says in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you cannot be a yogi if you sleep too much or sleep too little, eat too much or eat too little. So there's no question of not eating. There's no question of not sleeping, but all these things are done in service for the Supreme Lord. That is the liberated life. You can learn how to eat for Krishna, how to sleep for Krishna, how to work for Krishna, even how to have children for Krishna. That is full yoga.
Those type of activities are for me only. How for
no, 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 you have to learn.
For me.
You need instruction, but you need guidance. How to turn everything for Krishna's pleasure. That's the art of living.
But how Krishna will happy, like, if I have children?
If you raise the children in Krishna consciousness. Like Nityananda Priya, he has a nice child. He's raising the child to understand these things that we're discussing. That child will understand these things from such a young age. Isn't that a great advantage? Suppose you were born in a family. This is a material example. You were born in a family and your father is teaching you IT from when you were 4 years old. You think, oh, what an advantage. So, think of the spiritual advantage of learning Krishna consciousness from the earliest age. Now, to take birth in that kind of family, that child has to have been very advanced spiritually in the previous life. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita. So yes, you can have children for Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Dharma vruta bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava. Krishna says, I am the procreative process, the reproductive process, when it's done according to dharma. That means when it's done for the purpose of bringing into the world advanced children who can benefit the whole world instead of just contributing further to the madness of the world. So you can learn how to have children in Krishna consciousness. You can learn how to have a family in Krishna consciousness, how to have a Krishna conscious home, how to work for Krishna, how to eat for Krishna, how to sleep for Krishna. Arjuna was fighting for Krishna. If Arjuna can fight for Krishna, certainly you can have children for Krishna. That is the provocative example of Arjuna. Very good question. So in other words, we're not talking about just some armchair Vedantic philosophy. We are talking about action in Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield. Who was actually writing it, or how did it come to us?
How Gita come in existence? Holy book Gita, how it come in existence? Who wrote it?
You find in the first verse Sanjay Uvacha. Sanjay's secretary, and he's seeing from afar what's going on in the battlefield, and he's speaking, he's relaying it all. Originally, Vedic knowledge is in sound. Writing things down is a very recent thing, although current scholars think that an advanced civilization is one that writes everything down. But according to the Vedic standard, it is a degraded civilization that has to write everything down. The advanced civilization remembers everything just by hearing. So that there are books means society has degraded. The truly advanced society doesn't need to write anything down. The memories are so sharp. The fidelity, the genuineness of the sound vibration of Vedic knowledge is not even doubted by mundane scholars. They don't doubt that. They don't understand how ancient that sound vibration is, but they don't doubt the power of the Vedic mantras to be handed down over thousands of years intact. The knowledge in Bhagavad Gita is nothing new. That's why Krishna says, I spoke this same knowledge millions of years ago to the chief living entity on the sun planet. Imam Vamaskate Yogam Guptavan Ahamavati. When you read Bhagavad Gita, your consciousness will be expanded in so many extraordinary ways. Then you'll have real wealth. That is what we wish you all to develop. The real wealth, the internal wealth, the spiritual wealth. Live a balanced life, please. Not one-sided. Anything else? I'm glad you are thinking very deeply about this. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Can you elaborate a little on your book? You've discussed the Aryan theory in your book, Searching for Vedic India.
Oh, you have read?
I read it.
Did it help you some?
I loved it. I think I've never come across anything which has been so elaborately worked upon, and there is all scientific evidence, so I think that, you know, there is nothing in the book that you must feel that, you know, has been just out of the blue. If everything that is written there has proof, and it's all very, very scientific and very understandable, I think it's an amazing book.
Thank you very much. So, you see, I'm using what I was taught at Yale University for a higher purpose. Would you like me to speak about the Aryans?
That's right, yes.
That's a long subject. It's a big argument in the scholarly world. Did the Aryans originate from Europe and then go to India? Or did they originate in India and go to Europe? You know, many wars have been fought by persons claiming to be the Aryans. Aryan actually means, by definition, persons who are making spiritual advancement from an advanced spiritual society. They are the Aryans. It's actually got nothing to do with race. It's got everything to do with qualification. Just like, you know, in India there's this problem of people thinking they're Brahmanas by birth. That is complete concoction. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Guna karma vibhagasya. You are classified in your varna according to your quality, guna, and your karma, your activities. Let's say that my father, he is a lawyer. Does that mean because I took birth as his son, automatically I'm a lawyer? Suppose you need a lawyer, and you come to me and I say, I have all qualifications. And you say, well, what are they? No, my father's a lawyer, so you will not accept. You're looking for an IT man? What are your qualifications? My father, he's an IT man. No, you want to know, are you qualified? Let us judge by your qualities and activities. So this Brahman of my birth concoction has destroyed India in terms of its ability to give spiritual knowledge to the world. It doesn't make sense. How can you claim to be a Brahmana by birth? You must be a Brahmana by quality.
But because of your past activity, you are put into the form of a Brahmana.
But if you don't act like a Brahmana, what is the use? Because of your past activities, you're put into the womb of an IT specialist lady. But does that mean you're going to be an IT specialist automatically?
IT specialist is not a caste. IT specialist is just a man-made appearance. Brahmana is a caste identified according to the scriptures, the Vedas.
Identified by what? Huh? Identified by what?
The scriptures.
What do the scriptures say? I just told you. I just read to you from Bhagavad Gita. Chatur Varnya Mayastistam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. Krishna said, these four varnas, these occupations, are created by me. And you are classified in them according to your guna and karma, your quality and your activity, not by birth.
But it's also mentioned that if you are do some advancement on the Krishna consciousness path, then if you are not successful in the previous birth, next time you will get a birth in a Brahmin family, and all the scriptures like that, everything will be around easily available to you, so that you can further advance in the next life.
Brahmana family, if it's genuine Brahmana family, doesn't mean automatically it's a transcendentalist family. See, the position of being a Krishna bhakta, a Krishna conscious person, is beyond Brahmana. Brahmana is a material designation. But the Krishna bhakta, the devotee of Krishna, that's not a material category. That is a spiritual activity.
So what I'm saying is that because of love for Krishna, he has got the birth in the Brahmana family. How do you live?
That is just a more favorable circumstance so that you can go on with your transcendental life. What exactly does Krishna say? Suchinam shimatam gehe yoga brashta vajayate. You'll take birth in the family of Suchi, a Brahmana, or Shrimatam, a wealthy family. Either. Because both give auspicious material circumstances for you to go on with your transcendental life. But those aren't necessarily transcendental circumstances. But in the next verse, Krishna says, if you have made such progress in your Krishna consciousness, almost perfect, then in your next life you'll take birth in the family of devotees, and that is the rarest birth in the material world. That is a birth in transcendental or spiritual circumstances. So do not confuse Brahmana with spiritual. Brahmana is a material designation. Do you understand that? Okay. Notice, I don't speak for my own opinion. I simply speak what Bhagavad Gita says. That is my responsibility. That is my duty. You can learn how to do the same thing. But you're right to bring up this point, because it's very confusing. As I said, this whole notion that someone is a Brahmana by birth has caused so much havoc in India. the Westerners can't understand it. They think it's so oppressive. How can you say that you're superior just because of your birth?
It's not of birth, because of the ancient heritage, which has been like Brahmanas were always doing the deity, puja and everything. So whenever who is very close to the god, he gets the birth into Brahmana.
But if you don't have the qualifications, regardless of what you did in the past, if you don't act with the right qualifications, you're not a Brahmana.
But only if you have love for or some affection for the Lord, then only you get the speech of the opportunity.
No, this is wrong. Brahmanas can be simply concerned with punya, good karma, going to the heavenly planets. They don't have to be concerned with the love of the Lord. They can be worshippers of demigods. This is big misunderstanding.
Then why does Krishna also say that in the human kind of life, I'm Brahman, in plants I'm Tulsi?
A fish I am a shark. Of mountains I'm the Himalayas. Don't do this selective quoting. Krishna is taking the best of everything material and saying, that's me. In other words, you want to understand something about me, know that I'm the best of everything.
So that means that the Brahmanas are different from the others?
No. What others?
Like Brahmanas are considered to be the chaos people in regarding to the other people.
Sometimes. You have to judge by the actions. Why are you hung up on this, caste system, this birth system? It's not Vedic. It's a concoction. The Vedic system is you are classified according to qualification. Plain and simple. I told you last time about one argument I had to settle between two Indian families in New Zealand. Yes, remember? How many remember? Raise your hand. Okay, but so many don't, so I'll repeat it if you don't mind, right? There was one young lady, she was in her mid-20s, and she was coming to our gatherings, like this one. And then she stopped coming for a while, and later I heard that she had one boyfriend, and she had become pregnant. So, naturally, both families, they wanted to hurry the marriage, just before things became obvious, and there would be disgrace. So, both these families, they're from India, but they had all been grown up in New Zealand, so they were very disconnected from their original heritage and culture. But still, one family, the family of the boy, remembered one thing: we are a Brahmana family. And so there was a problem in the marriage happening, because the family of the boy said, how can our son marry this girl when she's not of a Brahmana family and our son's a Brahmana? Now the family of the girl was horrified. They're saying, look, it's already a done deal. she's already pregnant. Now let's get the marriage done very quickly before everyone finds out. So they couldn't agree. So they called me to mediate the situation. And I just said to the family of the boy, when they were telling me, we're a Brahmana family, he's a Brahmana. I said, excuse me, but Brahmana boys don't impregnate girls outside of marriage. Thank you very much. They had no trace of their original culture, but all they could remember was, we are a Brahmana family. I told you last time also, one time I was riding a trike, you call it, in Delhi, and we had agreed on the fare, and then we got to the destination, Kanod Circle somewhere, and as I paid the driver the fare we had agreed upon, and then he wanted more rupees. And I thought, oh, he's foreigner, I will get more money from him. So I just said, no, this is what we agreed on, 10 rupees, 10 rupees only. He was very insistent. You must pay more, you must give me this money I'm asking for. And I just firmly said no. And then he looked at me, and he reached under his dirty t-shirt and put his fingers under, and then he... I said, oh, really? Are you sure about that? So, of course, I didn't give him any more money. I just walked away. So this misunderstanding has caused so much problem in India. It creates such pride. My family is a high Brahmana family. Can you demonstrate the qualifications of a high Brahmana family? What's that? This is the problem. This idea of Brahmana by birth is nowhere in the Vedic knowledge. Nowhere. You may be born in a Brahmana family, that's all right, but then you have to show the qualifications.
But what I'm saying is, Brahmanas are Brahmanas because of the actions only.
Quality, guna, karma, their quality and their activities. You may have the qualities, but if you don't act like that, also you don't qualify. You have to have the proper occupational duties of a Brahmana, as well as the qualities. A Brahmana is always acquiring knowledge and teaching knowledge. This is a sensitive point for you? Don't tell me. You're from a high Brahmana family, right? You guys always get defensive about this. Trying to preserve your social status, huh? Trying to preserve the preferences, you know, all the perks. No perks are given by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita. You've got to be the real thing. So please understand this point. There's no use in being proud. Better develop the qualities and the activities of a Brahmana. But actually, a Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, is beyond even a Brahmana. So please let these points sink in very deeply with you. Anything else? Yes.
Sometimes there are fears that, like among married couples or something, that, you know, here we talk about deep connection to Krishna, so either of the partner might start feeling insecure, you know, they might think there might not be enough affection between them. What do you say about that?
The affection that is there in an ordinary relationship is very limited. Any married person finds that out after a short time. The affection contained in an ordinary relationship is very limited, comes and goes so quickly. But if there is Krishna in the center of the relationship, then through Krishna, the husband and wife have access to real affection that deepens continuously because they're both helping each other how to be more Krishna conscious. That is real love. Real love is based on the spiritual connection with Krishna. Otherwise, the love that's contained in material relationships, based on material bodies, material minds, is very limited, very transitory, very temporary. So if any woman wants the best husband, she should look for the Krishna conscious man. And if any man wants the best wife, he should look for the Krishna conscious wife. Or if you already have a husband or wife, then try to help them to be Krishna conscious. So I sense that some of you are ready now to push ahead deeper in your spiritual development. This is very good. I sense that some of you are feeling it is possible. It can be done. That's very good. More and more in Melbourne, the numbers of the Krishna conscious persons are increasing. That's very nice. In this way, the atmosphere of the world can change. India has a very interesting future. What's going on in India now is polarization. Some people are going more to the spiritual side, and some people are going more to the material side. More and more people are turning to India for genuine spiritual knowledge because they're tired of religions that are always fighting with each other. Just like I was in Israel 2 weeks ago. What is special about Israel? They have places in Israel, holy places, that are claimed by three different religions. The Muslims say, this is our holy place. The Christians say, this is our holy place. The Jews say, this is our holy place. So this is Israel, a battleground for all these claims. It's a tiny country. You can drive 3 hours this way, 3 hours that way, you're out of Israel. But all this commotion, all this conflict is there. It's such a small country. 7 million people. All right. Yes?
For the past 2 days, you have been stressing on the point that it's to get a balance in your life, you have to connect to Krishna. And you also have mentioned that India has contributed to the world spiritually. And like many other immigrants, I have migrated to Australia. Do you think what is the best way to stay back here in Australia or go back to India to get connected to Krishna faster?
The best way is right now where you are to firmly begin your Krishna consciousness. That is the best way. Right now where you are. Becoming Krishna conscious can be done anywhere. So you are here, do it now. And then we see what the future is. This is the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma says this in Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Stane stata shudikatam tanuvan vinodri. Stay in whatever place you are now and increase your Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, studying Bhagavad Gita. That is instruction from Lord Brahma. Don't immediately make plans, go here, go there. Just right where you are, increase your Krishna consciousness. Then everything else will become clear for the future. Okay? No need to go off this way, off that way. Just right in your present situation, whether you're a student or working, start your Krishna consciousness. And then the future will unfold.
What is the surest path to get connected to Krishna?
To associate with those who are connected to Krishna. Cherish that association as your greatest treasure. To get Krishna conscious guidance. You equip yourself with the Hare Krishna mantra and with Bhagavad Gita, and then surround yourself with expert Krishna conscious persons. Then you've got everything. You're the richest man in the world. You're more fortunate than Bill Gates. We are talking about generating real wealth, spiritual wealth. All right? All right, we'll have some kirtan. I'd like to thank you all for your attention and listening very carefully. It's always a pleasure to come for these retreats here. And Krishna willing, I shall return the first weekend in December, and we'll once again carry on like this. Well, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.